any trip on the floor, man. Just...
Some neighbors were saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast to somebody. That's like an alarm clock. Woo!
Welcome in, everybody, to a brand new episode of the world-famous Loose Lugnuts podcast. I'm Evan Roberts, joined alongside Thomas Dick and our friend Tyler Pig. And Robin is racing, and that was proven at Darlington, as it normally does.
Yeah, and then everyone wanted to go to North Wilkes-Barre, and there we're going there. So Rockingham, I heard, is next from a Carson host of our league.
Oh, friend of the
program. Take me back to Rockingham.
Remember back in the day when it used to be Daytona 500, and then they'd go to Rockingham, and then they'd go to Vegas, and the schedule was always the same.
Then wasn't like it was Atlanta, and then like maybe Fontana, right? It was all kind of like penciled in, right?
It'll be the same in 10 years when they go to Mexico, then Chicago, then
Montreal, yeah. Bowman Gray.
But speaking of news, confirmed news, not just leaks from a friend of the program, Carson Hocevar, Amazon Prime Video is making a Dale Earnhardt documentary, currently called the Untitled Earnhardt Documentary. It'll be a 4-part series. They are touting as a profound, revealing, and definitive account of a historic American family.
What are your thoughts on it?
I think it's got potential to be pretty good. But yeah. I think that we're starting to see too many documentaries. On stuff like
they play an Earnhardt documentary every time there's a rain delay.
Yeah, like how many more times can we? And not that he doesn't deserve to have his story told, but I'm like, at some point we're just making shit to make shit.
The other thing I was gonna say is like we just had the Jeff Gordon Dale Earnhardt doc. Like, was it 2 years ago? Right. So I just don't know what more we can tell, minus maybe some DEI stuff and maybe Dell Jr. leaving DEI to go to Hendrick. Like, I don't really know. If you've watched NASCAR, you kind of know Dale Earnhardt's story. Now, I know we're getting to Amazon Prime and trying to reach new people, but it's kind of a – I don't know how they're going to fit this into four parts. And so, we'll see.
Yeah, and well, I know the whole thing's not going to be on his death, but I saw Kenny Wallace, and he said that – I didn't see him personally. I saw him on the Instagram. And he said those things are tough for him to watch.
As documentaries?
As a friend of Dale Earnhardt, just seeing, you know – stuff about his death is like, okay, he died. It's time to move on.
Yeah. But I mean, I definitely see both sides of it. I just think there's way too many documentaries. Like if you look at even like ESPN 30 for 30, they're doing documentaries on the people that make all the trick shots. Like no one cares.
Yeah. Well, I know a couple people that like those guys. They're clowns. They shoot 50 times and show the one they made.
But the kids love it and they're making more money than we are. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think I am excited about is if this is good for Amazon and it builds their relationship up. You know, I get starting with Dale Earnhardt, but like, what does that go into next? So does it become like an evergreen thing that you, yeah, what's the trickle down effect in terms of Ronald Reagan? So I think that's something that I would really like to see. Like, does it become a Jeff Gordon documentary or do they do a full speed type thing like Netflix did with 4 or 5 drivers since they have the exclusive rights? So yeah, because I'm kind of curious to see how. Amazon's going to tackle our next topic when we talk about an in-season tournament, how they maybe try to monetize that bad boy.
Yeah, in-season tournament. I'm fired up for this.
Are you really? I thought you should be a naysayer.
No, not, like it doesn't affect the actual racing. It's just added fun.
It's like the no bull. Let's give everybody red letters like we did in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And let's go ride and make $1 million.
Like this has no effect. Like I don't know how anyone can be pissed off about this. It doesn't affect the normal.
I'm with you.
I like it.
Yeah. I wish if you're gonna hand out $1 million though, I wish they'd do it in Xfinity for the regular Xfinity drivers or do it in the truck race, because those are the guys that need $1 million. Except for do it for Xfinity. I'd like to see Mike Harmon walk away with a cold mill.
Well, let's get into it. They did announce, NASCAR did announce an in-season bracket style tournament, as we mentioned, a $1 million prize. There will be 3 seeding races run immediately before the tournament. Then the next 5 races feature a head-to-head 32-team bracket.
Driver. I don't know why I wrote team.
Then. Well, teams.
Oh yeah,
close enough.
They won't share the million with the rest of the team.
Yes, they will.
No,
they
Austin
don't win without the pick
Austin
group.
Dillon's going to take the million to that restaurant.
Hard for Denny Hamlin to win when his team can't change tires. they also announced that TNT Sports will kick off with Atlantis Night Race in June 2025. It'll be the first race of the new $1 million in-season tournament, and then Amazon Prime Video will kick off with the Coca-Cola 600 in May 2025. Also, Dale Jr., debut on Prime. And then other news, Jimmy Johnson joining NBC Sports for the Indy 500 and three Cup Series races.
Yeah, he's going to call coverage from the Coke Zero Sugar 400 in Daytona in August, the Yellowwood 500 in Talladega, and then the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500, which is going to feature what's-his-nuts, Kyle Larson.
I mean, Kyle Larson sharing the plane back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard this, but Kyle Larson's racing in a bunch of races in May.
And he's going to miss the All-Star qualifying. So I guess that means he's going to start dead ass last.
No, Kevin Harvick's qualifying for him.
That shouldn't count.
Well, it is. Didn't you listen to him talk about it?
I missed that part. So Goodyear 400 at Darlington. What a race. Tyler Reddick wins the pole as he and Brad Keselowski, only two guys, do a break 170 miles per hour. On the egg-shaped oval.
And then right behind them was Chris Buescher and Ty Gibbs. As we get started with stage one, Tyler Reddick's out like a rocket ship. Clint Bowyer says he has a hot rod.
I put that in there. He didn't actually say it, but that's what he would say.
No, he should have said it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Reddick's out early. He's looking pretty strong. About lap 34, though, Kyle Larson's the fastest car in the track, and he passes Ty Gibbs for third. And the leaders pit under green with Bubba Wallace taking the lead, and he sits out. He's going to wait to pit. They say they want to split in half, but they don't. It's a 90-lap thingy, and there's guys pitting with 36 laps in.
Got to get them fresh tires, man. Then we see Ty Gibbs and William Byron, who had pitted a few laps earlier, now ahead of Larson, Keselowski, and Reddick. Behind the four cars who haven't pitted yet, lap 44, so one lap before splitting it directly in half, Bubba Wallace pits, and then right at the halfway point, Ryan Blaney pits. So now we're shuffled through. Ty Gibbs is your leader. And then lap 79, Kyle Larson blows by Ty Gibbs as he's caught behind the lap car of Carson Hocevar. He gets loose and has light contact with the wall.
Yeah, Kyle Larson wins the stage, his seventh of the year. He's followed by Gibbs, Keselowski, Reddick, and Truex. So we have stage racing to build up excitement at the end of the stage. So they get to the end of the stage, and Bowyer and Harvick are excited about some action going on. But Mike Joy's yapping about Larson's Labonte car.
Kellogg's.
And then they break away to Larson and Labonte in the back of the truck on the pre-race lap. And they don't show us what Bowyer's screaming about. He's screaming about something. He's like, is he going to get him? And they don't show it. It's just my weekly Fox sucks.
Well, here's my other Fox thing. Is like, it's awesome Terry Labonte was there. It's a great paint scheme. He was going to be in the booth in stage two, and we'll talk about it. He didn't really provide a whole lot of insight. But, like, can we not, like, do what we call in the business, like, a tease and say, like, Terry Labonte, 95 Cup champion, who's won X amount of races for Hendrick Motorsports, is going to be in the booth to talk about this awesome paint scheme because it was great. And it never got mentioned once until he showed up in the booth. Like, I thought he was like a stumbling drunk and just appeared in the booth. And they're like, oh, what a coincidence. Here's Terry Labonte. And I, come on, producers, give me a tease. Keep me intrigued.
So, yeah. So that, and 4 days later, I still don't know what Clint Bowyer was excited about.
But rounding out the top 10 was Todd Gilliland, Chris Buescher, Ryan Blaney, William Byron, and Bubba Wallace. Stage two, Reddick takes advantage of the number one pit box to get off pit road first. Keselowski second. Reddick in the hot rod again. Lap 104, Kyle Busch hard into the wall. He's still running, but not having a great day. Six laps later, Tyler Reddick, Gibbs, Keselowski, and Truex are in the top four. Lap 121, John Hunter Nemechek spins around to bring out the yellow. His right front tire is shredded and caused the spin into turn four. And then he gets stuck on the end of pit road. So it'll be quite a few yellow laps here.
Yeah, then lap 129 restart. Reddick gets out front. Now we got bumper cards in the back. Byron tries to go three wide below. He goes up into Truex, has nowhere to go because in between Truex and the wall, that's Ryan Blaney. So Blaney gets the most damage. Buescher a little bit of maybe damage on the front as he rear ends Truex. DVP policy, that's the damage vehicle policy. It gets Ryan Blaney, and he's pissed.
Yeah, he's a little angry. He is coming around while the cars were still under caution. He just wanted to lay into William Byron on the side, but he doesn't.
Well, he said he almost did. He didn't want to. He was just trying to show face, but then his car wasn't working so good. It almost hit him anyways.
What did you think of Denny Hamlin's comments about Ryan Blaney?
I missed them. What did he say?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask that as soon as he... Keep going. I'll find him.
The one thing I was going to mention about Blaney is he's one of those guys, like, I know he gets fired up, like, in the car, and then when he gets out, he seems to be okay, but, like, I am kind of glad, like, cooler heads prevailed, because, like, that's a move that Harvick did a couple years ago, where he, I don't think it was at Darlington, I'm trying to remember, but it was under yellow, and he broadsided somebody, and it ended up costing him a race. Like, NASCAR's been pretty quick to shut a guy down, and it's Ryan Blaney obviously going to be in the chase, but it's like, hey, let's maybe not do that, like, in Darlington, where we've got about 10 more races to go to determine the playoffs order. Like, let's not do that. But he was fine in the post race, but when they had the in-car audio, he kind of went a little OJ on him. It was a little scary.
So here's what Denny Hamlin said on his podcast. Blaney lost his shit on the radio. That's a shocker. I think he needs some therapy. I've never seen anyone so quiet in person and so wild on the radio. Never. He is the epitome of when you strap on the helmet, it cuts circulation off.
Not wrong. He let it fly on the radio and the broadcast, and then when Jamie Little caught him, he's like, yeah, it's fine. It's racing. It is what it is. I'll get him back someday.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with being pissed off on the radio and being a normal human when you're not in the car racing.
Well, I get it. I just thought it was funny. Like, I don't know if he needs therapy.
Yeah, I don't think he needs therapy.
It's probably still awkward because then William Byron still dated his sister. So that's kind of an awkward kind of like, hey, let's go to dinner this week. And, you know, if you were to watch the Netflix thing, you wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
So we restart on lap 135, Reddick out in front of Kozlowski and Gibbs. Lap 163, Zane Smith around on the apron. So this is, I want to talk about this. Reddick takes advantage of the first stall to make up a slower pit stop. He noses out Kozlowski and Gibbs. I don't like the first pit stall. Any other box, you can't just gun it straight ahead. You get a penalty for going through too many pit boxes. So before you get to the thing that sets the field, you should have to take a right at some point. Should you not have to take a right?
Or it's an incentive to qualify better.
No, that's stupid. It's too much of a... Because you're already getting the advantage if you don't have to worry about hitting a car when you're pulling out. I think it's too...
Yeah, but you could say the same thing, though, about other pit boxes, because we don't have 43 cars anymore. There's technically 7 empty pit stalls in front of 7 cars.
But you can't drive through them.
That's true, but it does
can.
Give you...
You just can't drive through, like, 3.
Well, on his start, he drove through 3, what would be 3 pit boxes, because he doesn't have to turn right at any point.
I like it because it's a reward for qualifying better.
Yeah, stupid. Because then you get it. Well, you not only get it if you qualify, you get it if the qualifying's rained out.
I think in a place like Darlington, the number one pit stall is a huge deal. Way more than it is.
I think they should scrap it. I think they should have to turn right. There should be a line. There should be a pit box, like a faux pit box ahead of their pit, and they have to turn right and get into the flow of traffic. They can't just gun it straight ahead.
You just want more wrecks in the pylon right as we come out of pit road.
I just don't want someone rewarded for a slow pit stop. Like, it was obvious twice that Kozlowski had faster pit stops, but Reddick still got... Okay, so it's a short run, but their balls out. Reddick and Kozlowski are fighting for that spot. Reddick earns it, unlike earning the spot when he came out of the pit box. Lap 174. Truex alternator's not working. I had that happen once on a Volvo. It wasn't good. But his car's still working, though. So he's just got to turn everything off. So it's going to be hotter than two bitches in a bitch boat the rest of the race. Down the stretch, Kozlowski is still on Reddick's heel, but he cannot catch him. Reddick wins the stage, his second of the season. Kozlowski second, Ty Gibbs third, Joey Logano, Kyle Larson in the top 5, rest of the point getters, Byron Buescher, Hamlin, Wallace, Ross Chastain.
And then we go to stage three, another pit stop with Raddick barely getting out in front of Keselowski. Nice job by him to qualify first to get that number one pit box. Raddick chooses the outside at Larson inside to get by Keselowski, but Keselowski's too much for Larson, and he's out chasing Raddick. Lap 197, Alex Bowman just rammed Dustin Haley pretty hard. Hendrick cars are just running everybody over. Neither one sustains too much damage, but with 90 to go, Raddick has his lead up to 2 seconds.
Yeah, he's looking unstoppable. 75 to go. It's up to 3.5 seconds. But then at some point, either Raddick ran his stuff out or Keselowski saved some stuff, because three laps later, Keselowski shaved the lead back down to 2 seconds. He's taking a whole bunch of time off every lap. 70 to go. The lead is under a second, and he gets to his rear with lap traffic ahead with 69 to go. That's pretty nice. And then he executes the pass with 68 to go. We got Keselowski in front of Raddick.
And then we see the car start green flag pit stops with 66 to go. Buescher's in with 64 to go. Gibbs the next lap. Will they force the hand of everybody else with 58 to go? Lars gets loose and into the wall. He has to pit before he wants to. Raddick comes in with 56 to go. Keselowski comes in with 55 to go. They cycle through the pit stops, and with 50 to go, it's Keselowski, Raddick, Ty Gibbs, and Chris Buescher. 41 to go. Kyle Larson gets a flat tire and hard into the wall when he's trying to hold off Carson Hocevar. We get a yellow flag, and everybody is coming into pit.
Yeah, and then we get another bullshit exit off pit road by Tyler Raddick. He barely beat Keselowski without ever having to turn right. Son of a bitch. Larson takes his stuff back to the garage. His day's over. We are going to restart with 33 to go. Raddick needs some work this time, but he eventually gets out past Keselowski as they have a multi-lap battle for the lead. 31 to go. Buescher gives Keselowski, his boss, a little help when he could have passed, and he holds off. And then two laps later, he does a sweet move. It's a two for the price of one. Buescher's out front. He's going to make up for last week when he got screwed by a fake-ass white line.
Then with 20 to go, Buescher's a half-second lead over Raddick. 1.2-second lead over his boss. 17 to go, we see Raddick is menacing. 12 to go, Keselowski's coming. And then 10 to go, we got our Tyler Raddick dive bomb. Buescher gets a little loose and into the wall that nothing that he can't overcome. And then Raddick finally turns right like Thomas has wanted him to all race. And he gets into Buescher. Raddick with a right rear flat. And then Buescher with a flat as Keselowski blows by for the lead with 9 to go. Both cars limp to pit road. No yellow flag. And then, Thomas, you're upset at Mike Joy again.
It's like a weekly. Like he emphatically calls Brad Keselowski Keezer multiple times. Has any of you ever heard Brad Keselowski called Keezer?
No, not one time.
I looked it up on the internet. I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet.
Well, I think the two things I noticed about the broadcast, like 12 to go, we got our typical Kevin Harvick. He's coming, guys. He's coming. And like, really just Buescher and Raddick were just banging it out for a couple laps. And Keselowski was like, Roman is racing. And then, like, you know, two laps later, it was like no big deal. Like, they had, like, we never saw Raddick pit, I don't believe. We never saw Buescher pit. Then all of a sudden, Buescher or Raddick had had another penalty for not being in his pit box correctly. Had his front tires. Oh, wow.
He could have practiced the whole race doing that.
Yeah. Run. But he didn't. So that ended up costing that. But it was weird. It was a very, like, weird, like, couple, like, Mike Joy trying to make a nickname work that nobody really knew about.
Yeah, four to go. Keselowski, he's got a 0.6-second lead ahead of Ty Gibbs. Only late race chaos could end the race for Keselowski, but there's no late race chaos. I just had a stroke. Brad Keselowski gets the win. He breaks a 110 race drought that we never thought would end. His 36th victory. The next one's going to tie him with the great Bobby Isaac for 23rd on the all-time Cup Series win list. Ty Gibbs in second. I meant to look it up. Is this just Josh Berry's best finish?
Yeah, it was. It was third, Josh Berry's. He had a couple four. Yeah.
Third place for Denny Hamlin. Chase Briscoe, top five. And then I screwed up because I also am in sixth. Oh, Chase Elliott, sixth. William Byron, seventh. Bubba Wallace, eighth. Justin Haley. Whoa, RWR, old Rick Ware Racing in 9th and Michael McDowell in 10th.
And then not only did Buescher get tainted out of a possible win, he also lost at least 28 points as he finished in 30th instead of 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. And then after we saw him go after Tyler Reddick on pit road, kind of pushing him back and forth, and then Tyler Reddick was like, I'm sorry, man. I've never raced you like that before. I don't care about my car. I care about yours. And if I'm Joe Gibbs, I'm like, what the fuck? You don't care about your car that you just wrecked?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Denny Jordan. Hamlin probably was real Denny and Michael Jordan were real thrilled about it.
Yeah, that's who I was with Joe Gibbs.
For one, shout out to my guy. Shout out to the Troy Trojans, Brandon Lee, for getting a lot of FaceTime on Fox and kind of like trying to break up the cameras. I know Chris Buescher's never going to punch anybody in the face. Like, that's not really his style, but if Chris Buescher wins at Kansas, that probably doesn't happen. But back-to-back weeks of it where he just is begging for a win, it just felt pretty tough for him. And, you know, Reddick's really not like a dirty racer or anything. But at the same time, too, it's like, hey, man, we still got like 12 laps to go. Like, we don't have to end this right now.
Well, he could have done what Buescher actually did. Like, Buescher could have did that pass the first time. He didn't think he had it, so he just pushed his boss. And then he did the pass the next lap. Easily could have been done by what's-his-nuts, but he didn't do it. So the thought I had, two races he could have won. So at what point does not winning two races affect your legacy or make a difference in your legacy? Like, to me, the difference between one win and three wins is pretty good. But the difference between five wins where he's at and seven's not big. Like, where does that peter off at? I feel like he's got to be really pissed that he doesn't have those two wins. But when you get up to 60, two wins isn't a thing.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think
like the 20s, 15.
Yeah. 2025 is kind of what I was thinking. Like when Denny Hamlin wins the race, like, this is career win number 59 for Denny. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. But like, you know, if you're like Austin Cindric and you win your first career cup race, you'll never win another one. Like, that's kind of an awkward thing. So, I don't know. I will tip my cap to RFK. They found a ton of speed the last 3 or 4 weeks that they have not had, and really Ford hasn't had. They've been the best 14 the last 3 weeks, and so tip my cap to those guys because they've really outpaced Penske. And then a shout out to Brad Keselowski too, because he left the Penske guys high and dry and ended up getting a win, snapped his big long 110 race win streak. But yeah, I think he's a car owner, which to win a race as a car owner doesn't happen very much in NASCAR in the Cup Series anymore, which is pretty unique. I mean, who's the last guy to win a cup? I guess Tony Stewart, like 2016, right? He won a cup race for Stewart Haas, and he was the owner, like at Fontana, maybe. Oh, yeah. So,
I think the American flag victory lap's my new favorite celebration. So that's
Nobody loves America like Brad Keselowski.
I tell you, we hit the halfway point of the regular season, 13 of the 26 races, and we have half the playoff spots filled. We got Hamlin, Byron have Hamlin and Byron have 3 wins apiece. Larson, point leader. He also has 2 wins, 5 drivers in with 1 win. Elliott, Reddick, Bell, Suarez. Suarez is outside the top 16, so the cutoff's 15. 8 drivers in on points would be Truex, Gibbs, Blaney, Bowman, Chastain, Buescher, Bush, and Briscoe. Bubba Wallace, 4 points back. Joey Logano, 28 points back. Question for you. Halfway point. Out of these 6 drivers, which 3 gets in? Buescher, Bush, Briscoe, Wallace, Logano, Gregson.
I'm going to go Buescher, Bush, and Wallace. Okay. I'm thinking between Wallace and Logano because I do think Logano has enough to get a win and get in, but they have been struggling quite a bit. So I think I'm going to go Bubba because I think Bubba can win one of those, another race too. I'm going to go with Wallace.
Okay.
You're thinking Bubba like is going to come down to the wire and NASCAR is going to create some drama at Daytona, that kind of thing. Well, the scriptwriters would love that. If I had to go 3, I would probably go Buescher, Bubba, and Logano.
Okay.
But I'm not so sure, guys, Noah Gregson's going to sneak in and win a race. And over the last 5 weeks, the guy's got 3 top 10s in the top – 3 top 10s in the top 5. And he's the – you know, Briscoe's been – has got picked it up a little bit, but he's been the best Stewart Haas car. I mean, him and Josh Berry have raced really well the last couple of weeks, but Berry didn't have much to show for it. But yeah, I think Buescher's going to win a race. He's got some opportunities at Martinsville and even Coca-Cola 600. He's run well at Charlotte, so I think he can win one. I think Bubba will probably get in on points, and then I think Joey will find a way to win one. What about you, TD?
Okay, so I just got a text from Luke Hill, and he said Briscoe Deegan and Briscoe.
Do you mean Briscoe, Matty D, and Deegan?
Oh, yeah. I'm going Buescher, Bush, and I'm going top three. I think Briscoe does some stuff. Joey Logano's the one. Like, I don't know if he's just not running well or if he's just old.
Could be both, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the hair plugs might be doing something.
Yeah, I'm going to need this guy.
Who's the biggest surprise, good or bad?
I think it's got to be RFK, right? Or is that just recency bias?
I think that's recency bias.
If I had to go, I'll go what's bad first. Just as a driver, I would probably say the most disappointed I'm in is probably Joey Logano. Even though, can I make a second pick? Yeah. What about Trackhouse? This is a team. I mean, Suarez has a win, but they felt like they had a ton of speed last year, especially down the stretch, and they have been kind of non-existent. Like, Ross Chastain's got some top tens, but he hasn't really been a factor in really any races. So that'll be my two. And then, you know, if I had to pick a really good, I actually, to be honest with you, I would probably go RFK over the last month. They've probably, maybe it is recency bias, but out of the four teams, they've been the best since this snapped a 20-race winless streak.
All righty. Well, I was going to go. My correct answer was Team Penske as a team. I don't think Blaney hasn't gotten a win yet. And what's his nuts is outside the top 10. Logano's not looking good. So
Austin Cindric's still there. He still has a pulse, right?
I think so. All righty.
Really, I think the biggest surprise is how bad, aside from Keselowski and Buescher, the Fords have been. Because Stuart Haas is pretty bad, too.
There you go. Well, they might
not. Well, the surprising thing is,
And my other surprise, how bad Fox has gotten. Okay. Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200, no qualifying because weather. So that means you just lucked your way into the best pit box. Cole Custer, Chandler Smith on the front row, Creed and Dinger on row two. Timid first couple laps because they ain't seen the track yet. They didn't practice or qualify. Custer out front and Chandler Smith. Lap five, Jeremy Clements. He has an issue, drops to the back. Not very good for the Spartanburg native near his hometown. Lap 13, William Byron into the wall, and he has a tire going on. He has to pit under green. Big impediment for him as he goes three laps down, not 10.
Then we see the competition come out. After 20 laps, William Byron just misses getting a lap back, which is a bad break because he could have taken the wave around and then been one lap down instead of two. See Austin Hill pick up five spots on pit road to get in front. Bad stop for Cole Custer as he drops from first out of the top 10, and then he has to re-pit to tighten the left rear. So he has to go from the front all the way to the back. We restart on lap 26 with 20 going to stage. Austin Hill has control on the outside, but Justin Allgaier gets great launch and powers by him. Lap 32, Jeremy Clements, more issues. He had nursed it to the competition caution, but now he has to pit under green. Not good again for the South Carolina driver.
Allgaier wins the stage 1.5 seconds. Then we get Austin Hill, Sam Mayer, AJ Allmendinger, Parker Kligerman in the top five. Chandler Smith, Eric Amarola, Jesse Love, Riley Herbstahl, and Krieg get stage points. We see it all race. Hill and Allgaier out front. Allgaier rolls the top every time. Not much goes on this stage. Allgaier sweeps the stages 12 times in his career. He's swept the stages, but he's only won two of the previous 11. So bad luck for him. I would have fell back to second and thrown it. Hill second, Kligerman third, Mayer fourth, Eric Amarola round out the top five, Custer, Love, Jones, Herbst, Chandler Smith also gets stage points.
Here we go. Now Klingerman loses all the ground that he had gained with a bad pit stop, drops seven spots to 10th. The stage starts with 49 to go. Allgaier beats Austin Hill again, just as the battle's brewing for first place between those two with 45 to go. Big damage for Haley Deegan to bring out the yellow. The whole left rear quarter panel has been blown out.
And none of the three cameras they got for Xfinity races shows the actual incident. So we have her on social media telling us what happened. I don't know if we believe her or not. She said she got wrecked.
Luke Hillen's not on here to defend her. William Byron back on the lead lap with the free pass. He had been three laps back. Tough call to pit with most drivers having two sets of tires left. Only Klingerman and Allgaier appear to pit among the cars up front, but Dinger's car has an issue on pit road. He had trouble starting, and he'll be way back. On the restart with 39 to go, Eric Almirola doesn't do very well getting into the wall, while Allgaier beats Hill again.
Yeah, then Dinger back to pit road. Colling, tough year. They've been spinning their wheels in Xfinity since I had those cup teams. So I hope they don't buy any more charters. 25 to go. Klingerman is up to sixth on those fresh tires, but a yellow comes out, and now everybody's going to get fresh tires. I think he'd need another five laps, and he would have won the race. The gamble sort of paid off because he was in 13th before that, so it paid off a little bit. Parker Retzlaff caused the incident. He was dropping fluid, and that caused Kyle Sieg to spin out. We thought they were going to start with 18 to go, but unexplained two extra yellow flag laps. So, and it's conspiracy. The first time it won't be Austin Hill out front. It's going to be Allgaier with teammate Sam Mayer. Mayer is zero match for Allgaier. Hill and Custer also get by Mayer. Sammy Smith goes to pit road with 13 to go. Someone at the beginning of the year said he was going to be awesome, but he has a bad day after his DNF at Dover last week. So after a few crap outs this season at Phoenix, Talladega, and Dover, coupled with the fact that only twice in 11 tries after sweeping the two stages, I think something bad's going to happen and Allgaier's not going to win, but I'm wrong. He picks up his 24th 2-4 NASCAR series wins. Austin Hill isn't close in second place. He's 3.5 seconds behind. Custer, Mayer, Almirola close out the top five. Klingerman, Herbst, Love, Creed, and Jones in the top 10. Allgaier ties his boss for 10th place in Xfinity wins with 24. The only difference between the two is Dale Jr. won some Cup Series races.
That's next, the only difference.
Next up is Jeff Burton with 27. 9 consecutive top 10s for Hold Custard.
That's not bad.
Getting back to the Cup Series. Hey, how about this? Dale Jr. wasn't even at Darlington this weekend. He was in London with Jimmy Johnson, Casey Mears, and Matt Kenseth. So he watched the entire race on the plane ride back.
There you go.
So maybe that's why Justin Allgaier won. There you go.
So 11 of the 26 regular season races in the book. Chandler Smith, Austin Hill, 2 wins apiece. Hill leads the points race. Allgaier, Love, Mayer, both in on wins. The other 7 above the cutoff are Custer. He's 3 points back of the overall points lead. Herbst, Dinger, Creed, Klingerman, Anthony Alfredo, Brandon Jones. Bad week for Sammy Smith. He finished 34th and got no stage points. He falls off the cutoff, and he's 12 below Ryan Sieg, who should have wrecked somebody and won at Texas, but didn't. He's 13 back, SVG 27 back. We're just going to brush through the trucks. Ross Chastain wins the race.
Yeah.
Big win. 5th career truck win. Nick Sanchez finishes 2nd from the rear. He started out back. That's what that means. It does nothing. Yeah. Ben Rhodes finishes 3rd in his first race since the crew chief swap. Christian Eckes, Ty Majeski in the top 5. Chase Purdy, Colby Howard, Taylor Gray, Ty Dillon, Tanner Gray in the top 10. Howard, who has only run two races this season, he has his best finish since last year's day opener in Daytona. And the first top 10 of the season for Ty Dillon, who replaced Matty D.
Huh. Did I see, didn't Carruth get into an accident here, Raja?
I think he just ran bad most of the race. Looking through my notes here, the big thing for me, Enfinger was doing really well. I thought he was going to win, but he got a tear off on his grill, and there was no one close to him, either in front or behind, for him to get it off. So he overheated.
Our two picks last week, Tommy, did great. Kyle Busch was actually terrible, which never happens.
Oh, that was the big thing in the race. Yeah, we should have went through the race. Here's a couple notes. I'm going to just say them really fast. Lap 2, Kyle Busch gets loose on the inside. He hits the wall. Somebody picked Kyle Busch. It wasn't me.
It was this guy, because that's the rule. You pick Kyle Busch when he's in the truck race.
The other note I had, lap 60, the Mikey Waltrip Taylor Gay count is up to 2. He cannot say Taylor Gray's name for some reason. He always says Taylor Gay.
No, Carruth did get into an accident. He finished 2nd in stage 2 And then with 50 to go, that's when the announcer jinx struck. They're talking about Deem Thompson's running great side by side, and then he immediately gets loose. And then Matt Crafton, Corey Heim, Roger Carruth, Deem Thompson, Jack Wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Board. Okay, yeah, I had that.
Oh, yeah.
The announcer jinx. Yeah, so I enjoyed the race. It was a good race. But Bailey Curry could have pulled it out too, but he had an issue at the end. Up 10 to go. So very sad for that.
They're already on the second half of their regular season. 9 of the 16 races in the book. 4 drivers in on wins. Corey Heim, Christian Eckes have 2 apiece. Roger Carruth and Nick Sanchez, 2 apiece. The other 6 include Ty Majeski, Taylor Gray, Tyler Ankrum, Matt Crafton, Tanner Gray, and Ben Rhodes. Rhodes jumped up 2 spots to get right above the cutoff. Enfinger's 5 points below the cutoff. Daniel Dye is 20 points back. Biggest surprise here for you guys in the trucks.
Mine is the fact that Ben Rhodes is just spinning his wheels. Like, yeah, he's keeps jumping back and forth above and below the cutoff. Other than that, I would say maybe
Corey Heim.
I thought Corey Heim would run well. Nick Sanchez would run a little better than I thought he would.
Rajah Carruth, yeah, too, moving to Hendrick.
I was gonna say Rajah Carruth getting a win was kind of a surprise, I guess. He's ran pretty good. The other thing too is that Grant Finger's still below the cutoff. I kind of figured he would take another step forward this year.
Yeah, my only thing with him was he was with a new team this year, so I didn't know how long it would take. And then Tyler Ankrum started out like fire. If we would have answered this 3 weeks ago, I would have said Tyler Ankrum, but he's starting to come back to the median or whatever that's
Murphy's Law.
Mean. Okay, NASCAR Cup Series upcoming this week in North Wilkesboro.
Yeah, we got the All-Star race. Well, first we got the All-Star Open. This will be 5:30 p.m. Coverage starts at 5 p.m. on FS1, the Motor Racing Network, and SiriusXM Radio. 62.5 miles, so 100 laps around the 5/8 of a mile track. Then we have the All-Star race at 8 p.m., all on the same channels, 125 miles, so 200 laps. Kyle Larson won last year's All-Star race, topping Bubba Wallace, Tyler Reddick, Chase Briscoe, and Chase Elliott. Josh Berry won the Open, edging out Ty Gibbs. We got the fresh paved track, so 2 heat races will set the All-Star race lineup, then the 100-lap All-Star Open, and then the main event.
There's a tire gimmick, like F1.
I was waiting for it.
I read through it. It's stupid. Maybe it's good. I don't know. But here's what it is. So for heats and open, each team gets 3 sets of prime tires, which is the baseline set by Goodyear at the North Wilkesboro testing. Then they get 2 sets of option tires, which are slick tires, but made with the same rubber as wet weather tires. It makes them softer with more grip, but they wear faster.
Yes. They're also supposed to start on the soft compound tires, correct?
They'll start the All-Star race on the they call them options. I don't know why they call them options. They'll also have separate from this. If it's raining, they will have wet tires, but those are separate. Only prime tires can be used during qualifying, and then the All-Star race. I had this wrong. It starts. You have to start on the options. So.
I'll just watch the F1 race this weekend instead.
Yeah, something like that. So the 2 heat races are Saturday. Those are going to be at, I just saw this, 5 p.m. Central on FS2. FS2. Ooh. Must be some WNBC on FS1.
Oh. We got 20 drivers in the open. It's Cindric, Austin Dillon, Josh Berry, Corey LaJoie, Noah Gregson, Chase Briscoe, Kaz Grala, Harrison Burton, Bubba Wallace, Daniel Hemric, Todd Gilliland, Ryan Preece, John Hunter Nemechek, Eric Jones, Alex Bowman, Justin Haley, Ty Gibbs, Timmy Hill, Shane Smith, and Carson Hocevar. 5 active open winners with Suarez, Larson, Allmendinger, Truex winning 2 apiece, but none of them are in the open. And then Josh Berry with 1. The 17 drivers locked into the All-Star race is eligible drivers won points event in either 2023 or 24, full-time active NASCAR All-Star race winners or full-time active past Cup Series champions. So you have 3 Hendrick drivers, Larson, Elliott, Byron, 3 Joe Gibbs drivers, Hamlin, Truex, Bell, 2 RFK with Buescher and Keselowski, 2 Penske, Logano, and Blaney, Chastain and Suarez from Trackhouse, Michael McDowell from Front Row, 23-11 with Bubba Wallace, Ricky Stenhouse, Kyle Busch, and then AJ Allmendinger.
Yeah.
And six active winners. Sorry to cut you off, Tommy. Kyle Larson has won three since 2019. He also won in 2021 and last year's. So the three wins came at three different tracks at Charlotte, Texas, and North Wilkesboro. He's probably like to move it to Daytona next year.
Well, he's like the San Francisco Giants of all-star races. He's going to win every other year, back when they used to win those.
Yeah, every even year. Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin have also won. Jimmy Johnson, who isn't eligible, is the all-time leader with four. Who you got?
So for the open winner, I'm going to go Josh Berry. He's a short track. Ooh. He's a short track driver, so. That's all. I mean, I have nothing to base that on. He won here last year, so.
All right. I'm going to go Briscoe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Luke Hillen just texted in, and he said it's either going to be Briscoe or Haley Deegan.
Oh, man. I was torn between Ty Gibbs and Josh Berry, but since you guys already picked Josh Berry, I'm going to pick Ty Gibbs.
We could flip-flop if you want.
No, I like how the 54s ran. He's had some really good, you know, there's more people on this list that I definitely won't pick compared to people that I feel like, you know, if I had to pick like a three, I'd feel really good about Josh Berry, Noah Gregson, and maybe Gibbs or Alex Bowman. But I think I like Ty Gibbs on the short track, and he needs to get in the race and make something happen for sure.
All righty. So who do you got in the big one? I mean, you could just carry Ty Gibbs right over with the momentum and the option tires.
the soft compound and the medium compounds like Formula One. I'm going to start it off with, I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin. Just see, this is kind of like his bread and butter, these kind of tracks. He's got a couple all-star or has one all-star race win back in Charlotte. So I'm going to take Denny Hamlin in the 11 car.
I think you'd be an idiot not to take Kyle Larson.
He's going to fall asleep in the middle of the race. Like, how do you pick him? After you
Is walk, he going to remember how to shift?
That's the thing. Okay, first of all, I'm going to do my guy. How have you watched the last 2 weeks and you're not going to pick Chris Buescher?
Yeah.
So anyhow,
because he'll fall short just like he did the last two.
Oh, very sad. So they're talking about how they want to make racing better, and they keep saying they want the tires to be wear. They want more horsepower, but they don't want drivers to shift. I don't get that. Like, to me, mentally, when I think of driving, like, knowing when to shift is driving.
Yeah.
It's like they just want to throw a bunch of teenagers in a freaking automatic and say, get in the car. You don't have to learn how to shift.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is we've got, seven road courses. And so isn't the whole point of the road courses and why we have them is to create more variability and making people have to shift multiple times. I mean, yeah, that doesn't happen a lot of other places, but we'll see. I've got a hotter take for you guys. How long do you think the All-Star race is going to last in North Wilkesboro? And if you had a choice, where would you like NASCAR to take it next?
I mean, my favorite race. Well, see, it's hard because I don't want to waste my favorite race on an all.
I like it not being at a real track.
Track I do too.
Like that's not.
So maybe Rockingham. My hot take is I still think it's stupid that an all-star race is every driver. This isn't an all-star race; it's every driver race. I want to go back to you take the top five guys from the Truck Series, top five guys from the Xfinity, top 10 from the Cup. And maybe throw in a couple old dudes, and that's your all-star race.
So we're going to have an IROC race, basically.
Yeah, an IROC. Well, an all-star race, because not every driver – I hate to say it. Hold on. I'm going to pull out a name here. Justin
Haley. Jimmy Hill.
Not an all-star.
Yeah, but how are you going to get the truck drivers into a stock car?
With a crowbar.
Yeah, but
different. What? Some of those Xfinity cars are faster than Cup cars.
Yeah. So how's that fair?
You're allegedly a better driver. You should be able to win.
Well, there's only so much you can do.
So you're saying we should have it on a road course then?
Yeah.
So I'm for All-Star Race. All-Star Race of Road America with three different cars in it.
No, because they would pick Charlotte and they would go to the Roval and I would not watch.
Yeah, very sad. So if I had to pick a place, I don't know. I like Rockingham, Chicagoland, you know, Kentucky.
Oh, man, that flat quarter in Kentucky that they have. I would love it to go to Rockingham, actually. I think that'd be a great spot. Like, you know, NASCAR bought Bowman Gray. That's been some conversation, like, and it becomes a clash conversation, too, anytime you bring it up. But, like, I like NASCAR trying new things. Like, I think the clash was cool the first time. I think North Wilkesboro being repaved again is good. But, like, you know, I think it's got to be in a place like that. But I also don't think you can go somewhere like Montreal or Mexico City and it have the same impact. So, I just don't want the shininess to wear off on it at some point because it doesn't need to go back to Texas. It doesn't need to be in Charlotte 2 weeks in a row. But I like the North Wilkesboro, maybe Rockingham. I don't know. Let's go find somewhere else. I think Atlanta actually would be a great track for it. I just don't know if they want to race there three times.
Or South Boston. So no NASCAR Xfinity race this weekend. So the best series has taken a weekend off. Very sad. But a lot of the Xfinity drivers got to run some laps this week in the Cars Tour Pro Late Model, Josh Berry, Brandon Jones, Sammy Smith, among others. That's tonight, Wednesday, when we're recording, so we missed it.
But I was excited enough.
Truck Series, Wright Brand 250, Saturday, they'll take the green flag at 143. That seems very precise. Coverage on FS1, MRN, and SiriusXM, 156.25 miles, 250 laps around the 5/8 mile track, stages of 70, 110, 38 trucks in the race. So that's more like it. Last week we had like 32 because the trucks are sadly dying because they won't give them the $1 million bracket race. Two are going to miss the race. Ross Chastain, last week's winner, is the only truck whacker from the Cup Series. But we're going to have Xfinity driver Sammy Smith also going to be in the race, as well Eric Amarola. They've run three truck races at North Wilkesboro. 1995, won by Mike Bliss. 1996, won by Mark Martin. And then last year, won by Kyle Larson. No, Matt Crafton has not been in all three.
You had me.
He only ran the one. Not much data to go off to pick a winner last year. Larson, Majeski, Matty D, Carson Hocevar, Bubba Wallace finished in the top five. Only one of those racers is in this race. So lots of luck with your analytics on this one, Evan. Who do you got winning?
All right, I'm thinking. I'm going to go Ross Chastain again.
Whoa. Okay, who do you got?
I'm going to steal your thunder. I was going to pick Corey Heim again. I'll let you get into the details. But Corey Heim has been pretty good on the short tracks all year in the Truck Series. One of his wins came on one. And then, I think he's got a good chance to get one here on the 5/8 of a mile track.
Yeah, so Corey Heim finished sixth here last year, but he led 75 laps, including winning a stage. He's been fast as hell this year. To vary it a little bit, I'm going to let you have Corey Heim. I'm going to pick Ty Majeski. I don't know if you know this. He finished second last year.
I did know that.
Okay. Still didn't want to pick him.
Paint schemes.
Oh, my God. There's so many good ones.
What?
I thought it was kind of down.
I thought there was a couple that I liked.
I thought they're poopy. Yeah. Well, after coming off of Darlington and to me an all-star race,
yeah.
I think an all-star race should have a lot of good paint schemes, but I know the freaking sponsors are like, no, we just want our stupid basic one here.
We have Ross Chastain in the Busch Light red flannel.
Bush.
Then you have Austin Cindric in the American flag Keystone Light. So you have two of the shittiest beers that are kind of delicious being all patriotic and whatnot. The other one, this one I only like because it's funny, but it's Josh Berry in the green Harrison's sponsor. But then when you read it on NASCAR.com, it says Harrison's Ford. Like Harrison Ford. I thought that was pretty funny.
Ford Performance. Yeah, on the bottom. Yeah.
What do you think of the, like this one tried too hard, the Denny Hamlin Mavis Toyota?
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Here's the explanation. It's got the regular Mavis, but then really, 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 really small, so you can't see it. It's got a pattern of logos of all 54 races Denny Hamlin has won, plus stuff to signify his other accomplishments, none of which is winning a championship in the Cup Series.
Oh, there he goes.
Ooh.
There he goes.
Long John Silver's coming back. So you got that one.
I love the Long John Silver's. Last week's one was awesome.
Last week's was great.
You know which one makes me laugh and I won't is Ricky Stenhouse in the Icy Hot.
Those aren't wiener pills. Or
well, don't put them on your bowls.
And I like the Michael McDowell Charlotte Knights one.
Oh, yeah.
Promote a little minor league baseball. So
Bubba's isn't bad either. He's got the little kangaroo.
Oh, yeah. All true. Whatever that is.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. I'm going to look it up.
I just wish we just would have, like, punted a couple paint schemes. Like, Austin Dillon, I think, had a really good one last week. Like, let's move it to next week. Or even, like, use the Kyle Larson throwback this week. Like, I think it would be kind of cool. But I don't know. The only other one I liked was the Dinger Lee Filter campers and one with a little camper on the side.
Okay. Yeah, I want to like the Tyler Reddick Beast one, but I don't. I don't know why.
All True is an online platform that helps nonprofits supercharge their fundraising efforts
while selling wiener pills. So in
the trucks, there's really not one like any the one. It's not this week, but I did see it. I think it's Nick Sanchez. There's somebody you can donate $25 to, and you get your name on the truck.
Oh, we did that before with, it wasn't Timmy Hill. It was some other guy that doesn't run in a lot of races. and they just put my name on because they took it off my credit card info. They didn't take the name I put on the thing. They took the credit card name because I put plug nuts. But it, so you didn't get any credit for it, Evan, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine.
You didn't spend any money. I got to protect your melon, Ross Chastain. And I like to I always like the Tanner Gray Dead On Tools just because it has a skull. It's like the stuff under your sink you're not supposed to drink. And then I had Sammy Smith and the Flying J.
This Flying J's number one of all the paint schemes.
Oh, it is this week. Nick Sanchez, we missed it. We had to submit it between May 14th at 8 a.m. and May 15th at 7:59 a.m. We'll allow your first and last name to ride along the Red Racing number 2 Gainbridge Chevrolet driven by Nick Sanchez. So we missed it.
Well, that didn't leave us a lot of time.
I only seen it on Instagram.
So that is it. Like, I was trying to look up Spencer Boyd because he usually has good stuff, but he doesn't have a staff that turns the paint schemes in the NASCAR on time to get him on the thingy.
Sounds like you're calling.
Well, I'm upset because it appears as though Thor Sport now has a social media person. Like, for a decade, they didn't. They're actually putting stuff on social media. I was like, that could have been me if I would have ever turned a resume in, but I didn't. I could have been living in my parents' basement.
And the podcast would have really taken off.
Big Al in the background screaming stuff.
Watching Bluey.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our Darlington recap all-star race preview. We'll be back next week. Break all that down for you and get you ready for the upcoming week. For Tyler and Thomas, I'm Evan. We appreciate you guys for listening. We'll see ya.
We lied. We're back. One last truck paint scheme. Spencer Boyd, how badass is this paint scheme?
It's pretty badass. I might buy a diecast of it.
Latitude Arrow, it's got a female sitting on a bomb that looks like it's being dropped out of a B-52 bomber. The paint scheme's got looks like an airplane with the rivets and the panels.
It's pretty badass. It's like the
best one I've seen this year.
It's like we're liberating Europe again.
So that is it. Now close it again, Evan.
All right. For Tyler and Thomas, I am Evan. We appreciate you guys for listening. For real this time, we'll see you guys next week.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game. Until that racing fever started burning in my brain. Started running mini stocks when I was 13 and won a show. short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde, and he built a car for me. Sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Now some may say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you